The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tastytrade. Tastytrade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low-capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tastytrade. Join the club, genius. Tasty Trading is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Frank Holland, and you're listening to CNBC's Worldwide Exchange. Our show is live weekdays at 5 a.m. Eastern. Listen in. It is 5 a.m. here at CNBC Global Headquarters. I'm Frank Holland. Here is your 5 at 5. We begin with feeling the pinch. Stocks coming off back-to-back days of losses as Wall Street's outlook for future Fed rate cuts becomes less and less of a certainty. Stocks are trying for a comeback today. Also trying for a comeback is Boeing, why its leadership shakeup could soon change the minds of some hesitant would-be shareholders. We speak with an investor who's thinking about getting back in on that stock. And is Microsoft, is it about to have its iPhone moment? Wedbush's Dan Ives thinks so, and he's here to tell us why and what that could mean for investors. Plus, a possible WeWork lifeline, courtesy of its founder and former CEO. And later, how one company is cutting the price of owning at least a small slice of a luxury vacation home. It's Tuesday, March the 26th, 2024. You're watching Worldwide Exchange right here on CNBC. Good morning. Welcome to Worldwide Exchange. Thanks a lot for being with us. Let's get you ready for the trading day ahead. We kick off the hour with the check of U.S. stock futures with the Dow and the S&P coming off back-to-back losing sessions. The Nasdaq also seeing its first down day in six. You can see right now, futures are in the green. Looks like the Dow would open up just about 50 points higher. The S&P and the Nasdaq also firmly in positive territory. All right, we also want to check the bond market this morning as investors await February durable goods data later today. And, of course, PCE figures later this week on Friday. Taking a look, the benchmark at 4.24, ticking up just a few basis points from the level that we saw yesterday. We also want to pay attention to cryptocurrency, specifically Bitcoin, back above $70,000 after a very brief retreat down to closer to $60,000. Right now, you can see it's basically flat, fractionally lower, trading at about $70,000, just about $700. You see just a little bit of movement right here. The moves follow Bitcoin, hitting an all-time high this month of just under $73,800. Again, right now, trading at basically $70,000, just under $600, we'll say. All right, we also want to talk about one of the stocks, a big stock in the conversation today, Boeing, coming off a very big day and trying to extend those gains this morning after announcing a series of leadership shakeups that include CEO David Calhoun stepping down by the end of this year. Take a look at the stock right now. You can see it's up 0.5%. We'll have much more on this, including what investors want to see when it comes to the next CEO that's coming up later in the hour. Okay. That's your morning setup. Now let's see how trading is shaping up over in Asia and in Europe. Our Arabelle Gumede is in our London newsroom with both. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Frank. Look, the market across Asia has certainly been looking to massive gains this year, right? We saw the Nikkei earlier this year jump to those record highs, then firmly above that 40,000 point mark then. So some weakness today then for the Nikkei 225. But significantly, the South Korean market, the KOSPI then has moved up 0.7% today. That's a two-year high for that index. It's on the back of tech counters moving significantly higher. SK Hynix, around 5% to the good then for the KOSPI. So that's moved things higher as well on that front. Even the Hang Seng managing to tick up on the back of that tech influx then. On to Europe. Well, we are still tracking some news out of Europe, particularly Flutter, which came out with its numbers then today. The gaming and betting company then really pointing to the U.S. operations as a big boost for the entity, although they did see a pre-tax loss. Revenue as well as EBITDA did beat market expectations. Overall, you're seeing a bit of a mixed picture across the board then. Of course, that PCE data is the one we'll be looking towards.
All right, Arabelle, thank you very much. Arabelle Gumede, live in our London newsroom. Always good to see you. All right, turn our attention back to the markets. The list of big banks raising their year-end S&P 500 targets, growing by one. This time it's HSBC, going from 5,000 to 5,400. That outlook, it includes 75 basis points of Fed cuts that start in June. But that's just the base case. The bank, it also has a bear case where there are no Fed rate cuts due to persistent inflation and economic data running hot. In that scenario, the S&P falls to as low as 4,800. Then, in its most bullish scenario, the S&P rises to 5,700. due in part to strong GDP growth and inflation remaining under control. I spoke with the HSBC head of equity strategy for the Americas, the lead author of this report, who says AI also plays a major role in this most bullish case.
We think going forward, if companies start to be able to verbalize how much they can get in terms of benefits from AI, in terms of improved margins, in terms of lower costs, we could see the market starting to price that in.
All right, joining me now with much more is Hannah Gooch-Peters, Global Equity Investment Analyst at Sanlam UK, part of a team responsible for the firm's Sanlam Global High Quality Fund and more than $2.4 billion in assets. Hannah, good morning. Always good to see you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
All right, so as we just mentioned, HSBC, the latest of the banks coming out with a higher price target. Do you agree with either of the cases, but specifically the most bullish one, where AI is going to have a big impact on earnings?
I think there's two aspects here. So I think we are bullish on the US and I am bullish on market returns for the rest of this year. And I think that the narrowness of the market is what can contribute to that, because it's not so much about what the market is going to do. It's more about where those returns are going to come from. I think that there may be a bit of a stall in the mega caps that have driven the US returns thus far over the past year in particular. But I think we've got scope for some broadening in returns from the rest of the market. You've seen a huge bifurcation in returns. Big laggards down there of companies that are able to grow their earnings and do very well. And I think that you may just find a broader participation, which should sort of lead the market higher through the year. I think that we have to be careful with AI, because it's already been integrated in companies for many, many years in many cases. And I just think we have to think about the sort of pull forward of demand and that's being priced into some of these larger companies that are dominating that rally at the minute. And so if they fail to meet their expectations, and they've been building out capacity for this big AI need, then we could see some setbacks in some of those larger names.
Okay, we're going to be talking a lot more about the impact of AI on a number of companies a bit later in the show. One thing I do want to note, though, is there is actually quite a bit of bullishness on Wall Street. 8 of the 14 banks that we track have raised their S&P price targets, but the median, it's only 51.25. Also want to talk to you about the Fed. HSBC forecasting 3 rate cuts yesterday. We saw the Atlanta Fed president, Rafael Bostic, forecast only 1 rate cut. Where are you at when it comes to Fed rate cuts on the U.S. side? And how important is that for the outlook for the S&P going forward?
I mean, I think the Federal Reserve have been, very, very clear about their sort of 2% inflation target. I don't know so much about how many rate cuts there will be this year. And I almost it's not so much to me about how many there will be. I like to look at things on a bottom-up basis, and it's the impact on the equity market that I'm really interested in. And that higher rate environment and inflation, and also the bond yields being higher as well. I mean, that's already being felt, in a large part of the equity market. It really is being masked by just a handful of names in that Magnificent Seven, group in particular, that are driving index returns higher. So I think we are actually already starting to see the impact of that higher rate environment in a lot of the equity market that's simply lagging behind. The narrowness is really, really showing that. So, perhaps those largest companies aren't discounting that rate cut, but much of the market is.
So you're mentioning the rising bond yields, higher cost of capital, and another thing you're looking at is the forward PE of the market. So back in October, the S&P was trading at about 18 times forward PE. Now it's at 21 times forward PE. For you, is that just running too hot? Is that too, quote unquote, frothy?
I think that we just haven't seen earnings expectations catch up with it. So I think you've just seen a re-rating. There's been sort of driving the market higher. And I think that for us to move higher from here, it's really, really important that earnings move up instead of things just getting more expensive. So, I think it's really important to focus on stock selection where you've got companies that are able to durably grow their earnings as opposed to just trend sideways or even slower growth. And you can see it in companies like Apple is a really good example. It's, very large business and it's not managing to grow its earnings so much. Okay. And, it's lagging this year. And I think that the market will be quite punitive on companies that can't deliver on growth.
Yeah, two other stocks I know you're looking at, United Health and Hilton. Hannah Gooch-Peters, really great to see you. Thank you very much.
For more
on what's driving the markets in the trading day ahead, head over to CNBC Pro at cnbc.com/pro for exclusive insights and analysis. All right, we got a lot more to come here on Worldwide Exchange, including the one word that investors have to know today. But first, Adam Neumann looks to retake control of the company he founded and ran up until he was forced out back in 2019. Plus, GameStop shares, they're surging once again as the company prepares for its latest quarterly report. We have your big money movers coming up in just a moment. And then later in the show, big tech under pressure. As the EU flexes its newfound regulatory muscle, we have a very busy hour still ahead when Worldwide Exchange returns. Stay with us.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
What does it mean to be rich? Maybe it's less about reaching a magic number and more about discovering the magic in life. At Edward Jones, our dedicated financial advisors are the people you can count on for financial strategies that help support a life you love. Because the key to being rich is knowing what counts. Learn more about our comprehensive approach to planning at edwardjones.com/findyourrich. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. We're going to bring you some breaking news. Take a look here. I know it's dark, but you're seeing a live shot of the scene around the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, which is partially collapsed. There's also an active rescue effort underway. Authorities say they're trying to rescue at least seven people who are in the water. So officials say the incident happened around 1:30 a.m. Eastern after a cargo ship hit that bridge. Again, several workers falling into the water. Authorities say they're trying to rescue them as we speak. The four-lane bridge crosses Baltimore Harbor and connects with Interstate 695, better known as the Baltimore Beltway. Again, kind of a dark scene, but again, this is the scene around the Francis Scott Key Bridge in the Baltimore area. We're going to continue to bring the very latest as this story develops. All right, time now to get a check on some of this morning's top corporate stories. Silvana Hanau is here with those. Silvana?
Hey, Frank, good morning to you. Well, WeWork founder and former CEO Adam Neumann has submitted an unsolicited bid in excess of $500 million to acquire WeWork out of bankruptcy. Sources tell CNBC, however, that the offer could go as high as $900 million pending due diligence. The bid comes weeks after it emerged Neumann had renewed interest in taking back the company he was ousted from 5 years ago. Meanwhile, Citigroup is reportedly in the last phase of its sweeping overhaul to simplify its structure, reduce headcount, and improve performance. According to a memo reviewed by Reuters, the final and largest round of job cuts and staffing moves will be communicated to staff this week. Citi has already reduced its workforce by 5,000 since September. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has signed a bill into law that prohibits people under the age of 14 from having a social media account, regardless of parental consent. Now, under the new law, social media companies will be required to close all accounts believed to be used by those under the new age restriction, Frank.
All right, interesting story there. Silvana, thank you very much. We'll see you a bit later in the show. All right, turn our attention now to your big money movers. We're going to start with a meme stock that a lot of us were familiar with during the so-called Reddit rebellion. GameStop higher again this morning after posting its biggest gain since December. The 15% increase comes ahead of earnings after the close today. Take a look. You can see, again, up just about 1.5%. But keep in mind, shares are still down more than 80% from their all-time high reached back in January of 2021 during that so-called Reddit rebellion. All right, shares of Digital World Acquisitions surging as it prepares to merge with Trump Media. The combined social media company will begin trading on the NASDAQ today under the ticker DJT. Former President Donald Trump owns roughly 80% of Trump Media, which operates the platform Truth Social. And Chewy is looking to reverse some of yesterday's losses when it hit an all-time low. You can see shares right now rebounding a bit, up about 0.5%. The stock's fallen more than 7% after the pet retailer offered soft revenue guidance for the current quarter. A number of analysts have also revised their price targets to the downside, though more than half still rated as a buy. All right, coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, the fuel Wedbush says could drive Microsoft stock even higher. We chat with Dan Ives right after this break. Stay with us.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. We're watching shares of Apple, Alphabet, and Meta this morning, this after the European Union announced it's launching a probe into those three tech giants, its first under the new and broad-reaching Digital Markets Act that's regulating that sector. Arjun Kapala joins us now from our London newsroom with the very latest on this story. Arjun, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. Look, the tensions between the EU and US tech giants are continuing to ramp up, with the European Commission opening five probes into those companies under that DMA, as you mentioned, Frank. Now, the first two probes concern Apple and Alphabet and relate to so-called anti-steering provisions. Under the DMA, tech firms can't stop businesses from telling users within their apps about a cheaper subscription offering elsewhere. For example, if you're a music streaming app, you should be allowed to tell users that your subscription is cheaper on your own website. For example, the commission argues that both Apple and Alphabet are restricting this from happening. The third probe relates to Apple's iOS. Now, under the DMA, the EU says apps should be easily uninstallable and users should be able to easily change the default settings of iOS. The commission is concerned that this may not be the case with Apple. The fourth probe relates to Alphabet and whether Google is preferencing its own services, such as Google Shopping or Google Flights, over some rival services as well. And the fifth and final probe involves Meta. The EU is accusing Meta of running a so-called pay or consent model. So last year, Meta introduced an ad-free subscription model in Europe for both Instagram and Facebook as a way to comply with this Digital Markets Act. Now, the commission's arguing now that users effectively either have to pay for the service or consent to have their data collected. Meta argues this is standard practice, that subscriptions are a normal business model, but the commission says there should be a free option. Now, all companies have responding, saying they're happy with the regulators to have dialogue, and they've made changes to comply with the DMA, but we're certainly set now, Frank, for a showdown between the EU and some of the world's biggest tech companies.
All right, so you're calling this one a showdown, Arjun. Give us a sense. What could be the possible outcomes? When do we expect to see some type of conclusion to these investigations?
Well, the EU is looking to conclude the probes within 12 months. If any companies fall foul of the rules, get this, they could be fined up to 10% of their global turnover. That could turn into 20% for repeated offenses. Now, remember, these are companies that bring in multi-billions of dollars of revenue every single year. So the fines could be huge. The bigger question here, though, is whether the DMA forces these tech companies to fundamentally change their business models. Already in Europe, Apple said it will allow people to download apps that don't come from its own app store. That's something Apple has resisted for years. So how much impact will this have on its multi-billion dollar services revenue? For example, will Meta be forced to release an ad-free model for Facebook for free? Could that erode its advertising business? There's a lot at stake here for these tech companies, Frank. Big fines are one thing, but the bigger issue here is if the business models have turned these companies into some of the world's biggest will have to change.
Yeah, a lot to watch here. These stocks rebounded a bit yesterday, all three in the red. Also, Amazon possibly in the crosshairs of regulators as well in Europe. Arjun, always great to see you. Thank you very much. All right, sticking with tech. When it comes to artificial intelligence, not all names may be created equal. Wedbush raising its price target on Microsoft from $475 to $500, citing, quote unquote, transformative monetization for its Copilot AI tool. The stock's risen more than 10% this year, though still lagging several of its magnificent seven peers. Joining me now, the author of that note, Dan Ives, Managing Director of Equity Research at Wedbush. Dan, great to have you here in the studio.
Great to be here.
All right, so Dan, I got to put it out there for the audience. You are a big tech bull. You're always bullish on big tech. Your price target of 500 implies about an 18% upside from where Microsoft's trading right now. The average on the street's 470, so you're a bit above the street. You've been on a world tour. You've been on a U.S. tour doing customer checks. What are they telling you about AI pilot adoption? And also, what does that mean for monetization?
The AI revolution's here. I mean, we're actually seeing the monetization. And as an example, we think 7 of every 10 Microsoft customers are going to go down the Copilot route. You go back 6 months ago, that was 2 of every 10. Frank, I think when you put numbers around it, 25 to 30 billion incremental cloud for Microsoft. They're in the driver's seat. This is an iPhone moment for Nadella and Redmond.
All right, you said it's an iPhone one before. You also said it's going to be an accelerant for their cloud infrastructure business known as Azure. So we're going to show the audience. Microsoft has about 37% of the market share. AWS is the leader. How much more market share could this potentially lead to Azure gaining?
I think they could gain incremental 10 to 15% market share over the next 2 years. I mean, to put some numbers around it, for partners think for every $100 of cloud spend with Microsoft and Azure, there's an incremental 35 to 40 of AI spend. And I think when you start to put numbers around it, they're in the driver's seat of this AI revolution. As much as we talk about Nadella, you know, what Nadella has done in the past, now going forward, we are really starting to see the monetization. And that's what the checks are showing us.
Okay.
Monetization's accelerating.
So what are getting the partners and their customers so excited about AI and the Copilot? Is there something in particular? Is there a certain feature?
Use cases. Okay. I mean, it all comes down to, we could talk about the AI revolution, Jensen, NVIDIA. The use cases, the moment's here. And we're seeing use cases 5X from where it was, call it 4 or 5 months ago. And I think that's the key. Microsoft, what you're seeing on Copilot is use cases. Of course, names like Palantir and others that will benefit MongoDB. Now the second, third, fourth derivatives. But it's all being led by Copilot. AI is does not even start without NVIDIA and Microsoft, and that's what we're seeing play out.
So you're saying there's various use cases. It just depends on the customer, whether it's healthcare or supply chain, whatever it is, but they're just finding active use cases that make it worth it for them to pay the money and pay up for this.
With the ROI.
Okay.
And I think that's really how it's resonated in terms of what Microsoft's selling. Copilot accelerator.
All right. So you mentioned you want to put some numbers on it. We're going to show the audience. This is a bar chart. So this is Azure growth. This stock can sometimes trade on Azure growth. So back in Q1 of 2023, Azure growth was above 30%. It was 35%. We've seen here it's had some ups and downs. Give me a sense. With AI Copilot, how much of a boost to the growth of Azure? You can see it has growth, but it's kind of decelerated from prior to from Q1 2023. How much growth do you see this creating when it comes to this business?
I think it's going to be an incremental when you start to think about 50, 60, 70 billion. And just to give some numbers on that, Azure now, you start to now see that tick back up toward the 30% level. And I think that's important because they're gaining share versus JASI and AWS. And you look what's happened with Google. Right now, it's all being led by Microsoft. And this is, I think we go into a quarter where this is going to be another flex the muscle moment for Nadella and Redmond.
While we have here, I want to touch on Arjun's report about some of the crackdown in Europe on big tech players. How do you view that? How serious of a threat is it to their business models? And also Arjun mentioned some of the potential fines.
Yeah, I think DOJ is probably more of a threat in terms of Apple. But right now, I mean, look, EU versus big tech. I mean, this is going to be a UFC battle, likely some business model tweaks and fines. But it just shows we are entering what's really good. We're really starting to see a bullseye in the back of big tech. But I think for now, bark's worse than bite from an EU perspective. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't be selling on any risk here.
All right. Arjun says showdown. You say battle royal. So a lot to watch there. Dan Ives from Wedbush. Great to have you here.
Yeah, great to be here. Thank you.
All right. Coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, a new regime for Boeing, the potential candidates to take the helm of the embattled aerospace giant. And if they have what it takes to right the ship. Is it enough for a current shareholder, and could it entice a former shareholder to jump back in on this stock? And as CNBC celebrates Women's Heritage Month, we're sharing the stories of some of our newly named CNBC Changemakers. That's an annual list of 50 women who are innovating and transforming business. As we head to break, here's Amalgamated Bank President Priscilla Sims Brown.
I think for everyone, there's that secret sauce, and I think everyone has their own superpower. You are enough. You don't have to be perfect, and you don't have to fulfill a certain mold. I have to say today, I really think a lot about the younger people, like my daughter, Faith, and so many of her friends who are taking on the world in a brand new way. I find them incredibly inspiring.
And welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. I'm Frank Collins. Get you ready for the trading day ahead. We pick up the half an hour with a check of U.S. stock futures. With the Dow and the S&P coming off back-to-back negative sessions, you can see right now futures hitting their highs of the morning. Looks like the Dow would open up about 80 points higher. We also want to look at some of the gainers on the NASDAQ 100 right now. Take a look. Tesla right here at the top of the list, shares up more than 3%, followed by chipmaker Micron. And then Dexcom up just about 1.5% in the number three spot right there. You see chip makers filling out the top five. All right, that's your morning setup now. We want to turn our attention to the latest developments around Boeing following David Calhoun's announcement. He'll be stepping down at the end of this year. Calhoun's announcement follows that door plug blowout involving one of its planes during an Alaska Airlines flight in January. Speaking exclusively with CNBC yesterday, Calhoun discussed who he would like to see take the helm of Boeing next.
I want somebody who knows how to handle a big, long cycle business like ours. It's not just the production of the airplane. It's the development of the next airplane. Our next leader is going to develop and call out the next airplane for the Boeing company. It'll be a $50 billion investment. That will all happen on that next leader's watch. So I would like somebody who clearly has the experience inside our industry.
In addition to Calhoun's exit, Boeing announced Chairman Larry Kellner will not stand for re-election at the company's annual meeting in May. He will be succeeded by Steve Mollenkopf, who's been a Boeing director since 2020 and is the former CEO of Qualcomm. He will lead the board in picking a new CEO. Also, Stan Deal, president and chief executive of Boeing's commercial airplanes unit, is leaving effective immediately and being replaced by Boeing chief operating officer Stephanie Pope. For much more on this story, let's bring in Tony Bancroft, portfolio manager and aerospace and defense analyst at Gabelli Funds that counts Boeing as a holding, and Nancy Tengler, CEO and CIO at Laffer Tengler Investments, which previously held the stock. Good morning to both of you. Tony, I'm going to start things off with you. I want to get your take on what we heard yesterday. Calhoun says he's retiring, but not until the end of the year. How do you feel about him continuing to lead this turnaround effort?
You know, thanks, Frank. It's great to be here. I think you know, the Band-Aid's been ripped off. The announcement yesterday was, I think, probably the beginning of sort of how investors are seeing Boeing transitioning. You know, I think it's pretty much an orderly, stable transition. I think David's almost going to be 67. In April, and he was only ever going to go to, he probably was never going to get to 70. Probably 18 months was the most realistic timeline for him. So maybe this was announced a little bit earlier due to the January 5th incident. But I think this is a smooth, stable transition. It gives him time to sort of get Boeing back, the 737 production line back to, to stable, a stable quality.
Is it giving you confidence as a current shareholder? Does this give you confidence, the fact that he is going to be retiring, but also that the board is already starting a search for a new CEO? But do you still have confidence with him leading, again, for a few more months, this turnaround effort?
Yeah, for sure. Boeing is a large holding in our GCAD, Gabelli Commercial Aerospace and Defense ETF. We've been long-term Boeing shareholders. We like all of the secular and structural, tailwinds and dynamics that are going on in the commercial aerospace industry. Okay. And Boeing is going to be a big proponent of that.
All right. You are a former pilot as well. We're going to lean on some of your expertise in just a minute. Nancy, I want to come over to you. Nancy, good morning. It's always great to see you. You previously held the stock. You sold after the fatal crashes in 2020. Obviously, huge news related to the MAX. You said you were concerned about the culture. So I want to play another soundbite from Phil LeBeau's exclusive interview. And I want to get a take from you. Does this sound like the fix that's needed?
When you do work out of a position, the message you send to your people is, and maybe that work was moved because of a shortage, maybe it was because you're trying to fix something that was non-conforming, but when you move it down the line, it sends a message to your own people that, wow, I guess the movement of the airplane is more important than the first-time quality of the product. And we have got to get that in way more balance, without a doubt.
So, Nancy, coming over to you, balance. That was an interesting take on that. Do you think that this company, for you to become a shareholder again, does it just need to focus on first-time quality, or do you agree with Calhoun's take that they just need to strike a balance?
Good morning, Frank. I found those comments befuddling. What has he been doing for the last 4 years is really my question. I understand that when you're turning around a big company like this, it does take a tremendous amount of time. You can just look most recently at Intel after the Bob Swan tenure. That company had the brand, right? They squandered it. And so in my view, and I'd love Tony's thoughts on this, but in my view, the only reason this stock isn't a $50 stock is because of the moat around the company. No competition effectively, except for obviously Airbus, which has now sort of surged ahead. So for us, it's going to really matter who the CEO is. What he described to me were things that he should have been doing all along. And, his tenure has not been impressive. And I think it would have been better to make a quick adjustment instead of this sort of long drawn out period of him sort of handing over the reins.
Well, Nancy, in all fairness, they did make one quick adjustment when it comes to their commercial airlines unit, Stephanie Pope taking that over. Does that give you more confidence in this company possibly to return as a shareholder?
It could. I mean, I think what we're going to want to see is what are the next level announcements. So she's got more of a finance background. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you're in an engineering company, I think what we've also learned from Calhoun is that you really need to be immersed in the culture. Now, she's a third generation Boeing employee. She's been there for 30 years. So I think that was a good move, at least from on paper. And now we want to see, you know, some action, some activity in the right direction before we step back in and do it a little more. You know, the free cash flow issue is troubling to me because it's really declined pretty dramatically.
All right. So, Tony, I want to come back over to you. You are, again, a current shareholder. Just kind of wrap it in a bow for us as someone who's, you know, knows airplanes intimately. When it comes to the culture issues, some of the production issues Nancy's mentioning, this is an engineering company. Do you feel like they're on the path to turn it around and also take back some of those market share gains from Airbus?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, in my old life, you know, everyone's a safety officer in a squadron, and safety is paramount in aviation. And I think everyone's pretty keen on that. And, you know, you got to remember, you got to sort of step back and see, you know, so where Boeing has come from. Obviously, they had two mishaps in the 18-19 timeframe. And on top of that, then obviously COVID hits, which is the worst downturn in commercial travel, you know, in history. And so Boeing's production, just based on multiple factors, went from, you know, they were at almost before the mishaps, 52 a month. And then through COVID, almost essentially down to zero. They were at a zero on the production line, and then increasing back to 38 just before, you know. So there's been a lot of dynamics in Boeing, and they've had a lot of things thrown at them, particularly, you know, CEO Calhoun. Okay. And I agree. I think, you know, having a transition at the commercial plane business is going to be the key to this. And having Stephanie Pope, who I think is well-liked within the company, and they think that can, you know, she can lead to a change here and is open and willing to explore different avenues. I think that'll be a good thing for Boeing.
All right. Sounds like it's the first chapter of a very long story. Tony and Nancy, great to see you both. Thank you both for your time and for your insight. All right. Time now for a check on some of this morning's top corporate stories. Our Silvana Hanau is here with those. Silvana, good morning once again.
Hey, Frank, good morning again to you. Dell becoming the latest tech company to trim its headcount. The company revealing in a regulatory filing that as of early last month, it had nearly 120,000 employees. That's down from about 126,000 a year earlier. Dell saying it reduced its workforce as part of a broader effort to cut costs that included limiting external hiring and employee reorganizations. Cleveland Cliffs CEO apparently talked with the U.S. government about ways to avoid antitrust issues around a bid for U.S. Steel late last year. Lorenzo Gonzalez revealing that conversation took place during an interview yesterday. His comments coming almost 2 weeks after President Biden said U.S. Steel should retain American ownership, raising questions about whether the bid by Japan's Nippon Steel will close. And the New York Stock Exchange says it will begin the process for delisting shares of Fisker, the EV maker, saying that move would trigger an event of default on some of its convertible debt. The exchange said the automaker has a right to a review of the decision. It marks the latest bad news for Fisker, with previous reports suggesting it was preparing to file for bankruptcy, Frank.
Yeah, just a lot of pressure in the EV business in recent months. Silvana, thank you very much.
Got it.
All right, coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, we have a CNBC exclusive and a major announcement from a leader in luxury real estate. We'll have that story for you when Worldwide Exchange returns. All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. It's time now for your morning call sheet. We start with Morgan Stanley upgrading its rating and price target on Seagate Technology, raising it to overweight and 115 per share. Morgan Stanley saying the company's entering a period of structurally stronger gross margins, thanks in part to AI demand. Mizuho initiating coverage of Las Vegas Sands with a buy rating and a $70 price target. It cites a recovery in visits in Macau and investments there and in Singapore. And Bernstein cutting its price target on Tesla from 150 down to 120 per share. It says the valuation is still too high as Tesla faces soft demand in China and Europe, as well as constrained Model 3 production. All right, turn our attention now to real estate. We got a major announcement from a leader in luxury. Our Diana Olick joins us now with the exclusive details. Diana, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. Home sharing platform Picasso is announcing a big shift in its business today. The company, which facilitates co-ownership of high-end vacation homes, is introducing thousands more listings with share prices starting as low as $200,000. Now, previously, shares had been in the $500,000 and plus range. For example, this home is newly listed at around $375,000 for a 1/8 share. So the way Picasso works is it furnishes and manages the home, and you get to book into it for an 1/8 of the year through the Picasso app.
You can afford a lot more home when you buy 1/8 or 1/4 of it when compared to purchasing the whole thing. And we're living in an environment right now where housing affordability is a problem. Home prices are high. Interest rates are high, so it's really difficult for people to afford the home of their dreams.
Unlike timeshares in resorts where you don't own the actual property, you benefit from the home's value, which usually goes up.
Our owners who have resold have benefited from about 10% appreciation above and beyond what they paid for the underlying home previously.
Now, Picasso has had some backlash from some communities that see this like kind of an Airbnb scheme on steroids. There's even a website called Stop Picasso Now, and Sonoma, California passed an ordinance prohibiting Picasso. A similar issue in St. Helena, California was recently settled out of court. Now, Allison says his approach is to work with policymakers locally and educate them on the facts and benefits. And over time, he says that this model will prevail. So in addition to the cheaper homes announcement today, Picasso is also starting a new suite of services to help primary home buyers share their homes, more of a kind of co-living model, but co-owning. Frank?
Wow, this is really interesting. So, Dana, I got to ask you, the CEO mentioned affordability. Given how tight the housing market is, how's Picasso even finding the homes to get them sold into shares? And does this actually help with the housing shortage?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, on the higher end homes, there's much more supply on the market. So when they're doing very high end homes, there's a lot of them available and there's not so much competition. They have time to find these buyers. Now, as they move into the lower priced homes, it's going to get competitive. And he actually admitted that. And he said sometimes they're going to lose out on a home because they can't get the buyers fast enough. But interestingly, he said in the vacation home market, you have some people who already own their vacation homes and decide they want to sell the shares off and use Picasso to do that. He says that's becoming much more prevalent. And so that's easier for Picasso to sell the shares if they have a seller who's waiting to get those shares sold. And he also says, as for the housing shortage, if you have 8 people who want to get into a vacation home, instead of buying 8 homes that they don't use all year long, they're buying one home. And that helps a little bit with that housing shortage, at least in the vacation home arena, not in the rest of the place.
Really interesting development in the luxury sector. You know, vacation homes, harder and harder to find these days. Our Diane Olick, great reporting as always. Great to see you. All right, time now for our global briefing. South Korea's KOSPI hitting a 2-year high thanks to chip stocks like Samsung and SK Hynix. The index has risen nearly 15% over the past year compared to the Nikkei's 48% increase and the Hang Seng's 17% decline. Chinese President Xi Jinping reportedly set to meet with U.S. business leaders in Beijing tomorrow. Reuters says that meeting was proposed by Chubb CEO Evan Greenberg and will include the presidents of the National Committee on U.S.-China Relations and the U.S.-China Business Council. Also in China, regulators are reportedly urging banks to speed up the approvals of new loans to private property developers with dwindling cash reserves. The country's looking to revive homebuyer sentiment and ease the sector's unprecedented liquidity squeeze as risk around asset quality continues to rise. China's new home prices, they fell in February for an 1/8 straight month. All right, coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, the one word that every investor needs to know about the day ahead, plus what cars, chips, and groceries have in common for our next guest. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. We're going to turn back to that breaking news we've been covering this morning. You're looking at a live shot of the scene around the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, which has partially collapsed. There's also an active rescue operation underway. Officials say the incident happened around 1:30 a.m. Eastern after a cargo ship collided with that bridge. Again, as an active rescue, there's reports of about 20 people falling into the water. We're going to continue to bring you the very latest as this story continues to develop. All right, turning now back to the markets and business news. Time now for your WEX wrap-up. Former WeWork CEO Adam Neumann submitting an offer to buy the bankrupt company for more than $500 million. Newman has been working to regain control of WeWork after being ousted 5 years ago. Citi will lay off 5,000 jobs this week, marking the end of the bank's major restructuring plan. Management layers have been shrunk from 13 down to 8 in recent months. The city aims to trim its workforce by 20,000 over the next 2 years. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signing one of the country's most restrictive social media bills. The legislation, which takes effect next January, bans accounts for kids under 14 and requires parental permission for 14-year-olds and 15-year-olds. GameStop higher again this morning after notching its biggest gain since December. The move comes ahead of fourth quarter earnings that come after the close today. Shares of Digital World Acquisition surging as it prepares to merge with Truth Social parent Trump Media. The combined company will begin trading on the NASDAQ today under the ticker DJT. And Elon Musk is requiring all Tesla employees to install and demo the company's premium driver assistance system for all customers in North America before completing vehicle delivery. The software automates driving on city streets and highways, but it still requires the driver's attention at all times. Here's what to watch today. Data on durable goods, home prices, and consumer confidence all on tap, and earnings from McCormick and, again, GameStop. A turnaround Tuesday potentially taking shape as the markets, they try to bounce back from yesterday's losses. Taking a look at futures right now, we're seeing futures pretty close to their highs of the morning. Looks like the Dow would open 80 points higher. Joining me now is Degas Wright, founder, CEO, and CIO of Decatur Capital. He's also a CNBC contributor. Degas, good morning. Always great to see you.
Frank, it's great being on with you. Thank you.
So again, we're looking for a possible turnaround Tuesday today. Give me a sense. How do you see today shaping up? What's your WEX word of the day?
Well, one of the things we're going to see is the consumer confidence will be reported later today. And we're seeing that it's probably going to be slightly below where it was last month. It's probably going to come in about 106.5, slightly below the February. And what we're seeing is that the consumer is concerned about the labor market and the U.S. Political environment. However, the Fed has given a green light to the market with the Fed chair's statements from last week. And so we're seeing that the market, we're still bullish, and we're seeing that this is being seen in the net earnings revisions being positive for technology, healthcare, consumer staples, and also industrials.
All right, so your WEX for the day today is confidence. Sounds like you have a lot of confidence. In fact, we were talking earlier today about HSBC raising its S&P price target from 5,000 to 5,400. That's the base case. But they also see AI possibly moving the index up, maybe even to 5,700. Do you agree? Does AI have that transformative possibility? We also had Dan Ives from Wedbush on talking about the adoption of AI co-pilots.
We do agree. And we're actually support that type of S&P 500 by the end of the year, you know, 5,600 to 5,700. I was having a conversation with the CEO yesterday of a manufacturing company, and he was sharing with me how they're going to use AI to even increase what they're able to do on the factory floor. So we're seeing the AI throughout all industries.
All right. So I want to get some of your stock picks. You have a big focus on free cash flow. That was something actually we talked about earlier with Boeing. I'm just kind of, you're kind of connecting with a lot of the conversations we're having, Degas. Nancy Tengler talking about the free cash flow issues at Boeing. The companies you're focused on, they're returning in your mind, which is a solid number when it comes to free cash flow for every dollar of invested capital. We're talking Copart, ASML, and also Sprouts Farmers Market. I want to start with Sprouts Farmers Market. Grocery, normally a pretty thin margin business. Why are you so bullish on this company?
Because Sprouts is doing something very innovative. One, they're looking at local fresh foods. Also, they have a very good use of floor space in their stores. If you ever go in, it's very tightly, but very attractively aligned with their produce. And lastly, they have a very innovative marketing online strategy. And what this is basically done is that they have a 37% gross margin, and that ends up being at about a 9% free cash flow rate of return on their invested capital.
All right. Degas Wright coming with a grocer on us. Sprouts Farmers Market ticker SFM. Degas, it is always great to see you. Thank you very much. All right. One more look at the futures before we let you go. As we mentioned, the futures in the green across the board, looking for a Tuesday turnaround. Right now, it looks like the Dow would open up about 80 points higher. The S&P and the NASDAQ firmly in the green as well. That's going to do it for us. You've been listening to CNBC's Worldwide Exchange. You can always catch us live weekdays at 5 a.m. Eastern.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential.
With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.